and good day. Hey, welcome to the Super Good Camping Podcast. My name is Pamela.
I'm Tim.
And we are from supergoodcamping.com. We are here because we're on a mission to inspire other families to enjoy camping adventures such as we have with our kids. Today's guest is another in our Manufacturers, Outfitters, Retailers series, essentially experts on a particular piece of gear or similar pieces of equipment. Keith Park is one of the four friends that founded Kid Products, that's K-I-H-D Products, and he's here to talk about Twig stoves and reflector ovens.
Welcome.
Hey, welcome, Keith.
Hello, hello.
Hi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Cool, cool. So right out of the gate, just because it's a cool story and I would like our audience to hear it, how did you guys come up with the name?
Well, you can sort of read our biography, or I can't, but we came up with the name because there's four of us that canoe together. We like to take multi-day trips together. And as we're getting older, we decided, okay, what are we going to do about the weight of these crazy packs that we carry? Because we multi-day trip, typically 8 days. So four large adult males, that's upwards of 8 bottles of fuel. That gets heavy, especially that first day. So we started looking at stick stoves. We thought about it. We started playing with it. So we bought a couple, tried them, wrote down what we liked about them, what we didn't like about them, and then let's see if we can design our own. So we started with electrical boxes, believe it or not. They sort of work. They have a problem in that the zinc is toxic.
Note to self.
Then we had a friend say, make it out of aluminum for lightness. Well, we did. Well, we melted that one.
Got it so hot.
So then we hit on this design. One of the guys, Ingo, he's a watchmaker by trade, and he has all the appropriate tools, especially the saw. And he designed this one, and we based the size on, we need to be able to put a large frying pan on top. We wanted to be able to put our coffee pot on top, as well as we wanted it to be efficient. And that's one of the things playing with the other types of stoves that we found, was to get it efficient. The one type we had was actually kind of neat. It was square and it was, you know, conical shape. Very efficient at the top with the heat coming out, but it was too small and it was a little too high. A couple of the others we looked at were just too big. And we felt that based on that, the amount of fire you had to build inside was a little excessive. So that's why we've come down to the size we have here. This is our stove. It's approximately 4.5 inches wide. It's a square. It's 4.5 by 4.5, 5 high. But we can put our frying pan on that. We can put our coffee pot on that. And we find that the size gives us really good heat concentration at the bottom of our pan. And then with the way we run our cross drafts, which you just saw, the heat actually will come underneath your pan and up the side, which gives us a little bit more efficiency for heating a larger pan.
Right. Yeah. I'm going back to our eldest and I are, he's my, I'm pointing, that's his bedroom behind me. He's my backcountry partner. And in the early days we had a BioLite, so a twig stove, but with a fan attached to it as well. And the concentrates great, you know, to have, to be able to use branches and bits and pieces and pine cones and whatnot, you know, that you find are kicking around your campsite in the backcountry. But the concentration of it was I'd say 2.5 inches across, maybe 3 inches of heat dispersion. So it would burn the crap out of whatever was in the center of your pan, and the stuff at the outside would be forever to cook for the heat to wick out to it like that. So bigger dispersion is a little bit better idea.
Yeah. And you know, there is another problem we found with the BioLite is you have to take your pot off to put the sticks in it.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. And yours feeds through the front. You've got a little door, right?
It's a front door.
Yeah.
And we don't care the size of our sticks. If you go on our Facebook page, you'll see lots of pictures. We just keep shoving the sticks in. They can stick way out the front door. We don't have to break them down to exact size every time. And you just keep shoving them in as they burn down.
Good point.
That was another feature we looked at. Do we have to make the sticks the right size all the time? And then, then going with that, we designed a door to go on it. And so if it's really windy, we can throw the door on it, stop the amount of air just blowing through it. when you're done cooking and you just want to keep the pot warm and you got a bit of coals in it, throw the door on it, keeps it as a nice warm box. In the case of a fire ban, this is something we talked to the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry and Resources people. We can use an alcohol burning stove in it as long as it has a lid that you can put on it to snuff it out. So we, with an extra set of cross straps in the door, gives us that flame height to the bottom of your pot again for your maximum efficiency. Now, alcohol stoves, as you know, are not overly efficient, but at least it works well in here.
And it works under that situation. Yeah, that was a thing I was wondering about. The same. Aerosol. That's part of why we switched. Part of why we switched to we do use fuel, but there's only two of us, so we're carrying half the fuel that you are in all likelihood. We use a MSR pocket rocket for ours, so itty bitty light and has the on off. That was my, because we got caught one year where we had to use the campfire, which is terribly inefficient to try to cook our dinners because we had a fire ban in place.
Yeah, the campfire is a great idea. We love cooking on the campfire. I'll admit, we still like to cook on a fire. We'll do a coffee on it sometimes, or we do steak on it for sure. But we find with the stick stove, it's a lot more efficient. And we've been out in some pretty wet weather, and typically where we go on the west side of Algonquin Park, we can always find dry wood. We've had the stove up in Tomogamy for a four-day trip that was no fuel. It was strictly sticks. Now, we did have with us some fatwood. We do have a fair bit of fatwood. One of our friends is a fatwood hunter, and he keeps us well supplied with some very good Ontario fatwood. And it burns extremely well in this stove. Once you get it going in there, you can burn anything in it. Doesn't matter how wet it is, it'll burn. So yeah, that's the way we did it. The other, one of the things we did with our design too is we didn't want hinges like one of our major competitors. They use a hinge. And we have winter in Canada, and if your stove gets a bit wet in the winter, the hinges will freeze. It's kind of hard to set up. So ours is designed in such a way that you can put it together with gloves on. And we've done that down to minus 30, put our stove together with gloves on.
Cool.
It's come in handy, winter camping.
So how much, like a standard twig stove, lots of benefits to it. Weight being one of them. So you guys make yours out of titanium. What does one of your stoves weigh?
So our basic stove, which is our first one that we came out with, which is a cold rolled steel, 18 gauge, it's right. 540 grams. Our next up with has a door, cross straps in both cold rolled steel and our stainless steel, they're 640 grams. That being said, one of our major competition is 930 grams. But our titanium stove, we love this. It weighs less than a cup of water. It weighs 240 grams. It is super light.
That's crazy.
It is super light, yeah. So if you take my titanium stove and add a medium-sized jet boil or MSR fuel, isopropyl fuel canister, you take those two together, that's still lighter than our stainless steel stove. But we, because we canoe, we'll throw a stove in one canoe pack, another in another canoe pack, and divvy up the weight that way. We take whatever stove we have handy. My particular own personal stove is now 7 years old. I have about 800 hours of burn time on it. I'm also the field tester, so I get to play and burn the thing like crazy. And we'll take that and maybe take a titanium if we remember to get it out of the gearbox. But we'll take two stoves. We have a toaster attachment for it on top as well, so we'll take one of those. So, you know, when you get up in the morning, you quite literally fire up the stove to make a pot of coffee.
And toast.
Now, that being said, on a trip, we will admit, we do take another stove as an emergency if it really gets stuck. In your case, you take a pocket rocket. I happen to take a Jetboil Mighty Mo. Very efficient. Reason for that one, it's a bit bigger stove. I can put my coffee pot on it.
Bigger coffee pot. Well, four of you. Yeah, I can see that. I'm the only one that drinks coffee of our team. So I just have to make a little bit for me to get my butt moving in the morning. And
yeah, so for the four of us for coffee in the morning, we're looking at about 1.5 to 2 liters of water to start with. So
yep.
We perk our coffee.
That's a bit. Okay. So I think that probably pretty much covers how twig stoves work and some of the cool things about your design. You have a toaster toasting attachment for it for doing toast in the morning. What about pots and things like that? Do you have you specifically made things to go along with the twig stove?
No, we'd have an off. Our typical pots, if we're doing a multi-day trip, is we carry a MSR, I was going to say Alpine, but that's the one I've got. It's the next size pot set up from the Alpine. It gives us a much bigger pot for doing pasta. We carry a GSI 10-inch frying pan, which will cook a pound of bacon. So, but when I go solo or we go with just the two of us, we do sell kit products. We do sell titanium pots that we have sourced elsewhere. One's 1,100 milliliters and one's 750. So we'll take the two of those. They work perfectly well on it. Those pots will also go on a campfire. So that's the idea behind those. But as I said, for the big trips, we do take the bigger pots.
Well, on the twig stove, I think I read that it folds down quite small as well, right? So it's not
it does. It folds down. That's it. That's the pouch it goes in. Unfortunately, I don't have it in right now. But this will actually fit in the cargo pant pocket in cargo pants.
Cool.
Yeah, it's nice and small. It's very small.
Out of curiosity, so you made your coffee, you're breaking down your camp, you're getting ready to head out. How long does it retain the heat? In other words, how long till you can pack it up comfortably and not melt through your cargo pant pocket?
Well, what we do is once we're done cooking, we'll dump out the ash and whatever is left into the fire pit, typically that's there. If there's no fire pit and we're at the end of a portage, we'll dump it on a rock and dump a bunch of water on it. Once you do that, it's about 6 minutes.
Wow, I would have thought way longer.
And it's cool to it cools off very fast. We were surprised when we timed it. That was a question that we had from we actually started talking to scout leaders. They were always asking us, how long does it take to cool off? So they wanted to use it on a hike, right?
Yeah.
So is there a difference between the really steel hot. And the titanium for that?
Nope. No difference at all. They both cool off really quickly. It's about 6 minutes. No, it's still warm, but you can handle it with your hands.
Yeah, So I would have said probably double that, I would have guessed.
We let it sit longer than that. But no, 6 minutes.
Excellent.
We had a friend of ours who was in a big hurry one time. He actually dumped a bucket of water on it.
Does it? So would it warp it if you did that? If you tried to speed the cooling process up and just bapped it in the water?
Yeah, he said it warped it briefly, and then it went back to its normal shape.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I have to give some thought to that now. All right. That's cool. And I also heard, I'm sure I heard one of the boys say that it's strong enough that you can stand on it.
Yeah. We did a demo in 2016 at a store here in Oakville. I happen to know the store owner. I was a scout leader with her. So we asked if we could do a demo at her store. She said, sure. So as we were doing the demo, we were drinking coffee, which we made on the stove outside the store, and he said, oh, I wonder if I can stand on it. They put it down on the pavement, and he stood on it. And he weighed in excess of 230 pounds at the time.
That's amazing.
And he had no problem. He stood on it. Yeah.
How did you guys come up with the name?
Well, the name is easy. It's, there's the four of us. There's the K. That's my first initial, K and Keith. I for Ingo, he's the second to name, second the I. H, that's his brother Helga, that's the H. And the D is the first initial in Denis, our last guy in our team. So it's quite simple. That's how we did it.
That's awesome. I like easy.
Yeah the H is silent when you say
well,
it.
You could say head.
The H is silent. It's that Helga's not our silent partner. He always has the best jokes at camp and stuff like that. So
excellent.
So you guys camp at Algonquin a fair bit, I think you've said.
Yes, we do. Mostly on the west side. this spring, Ingo and I are heading over to the southeast corner for 4 days. We're going to go in and do some late trout fishing.
Well, yeah, that's a...
Yeah, mostly the west side, mostly access. Well, I hate to admit it, we've actually gone in at Canoe Lake. We don't particularly like going in at Canoe Lake, but there are some really pretty lakes off of that entrance. So.
Yeah, Thomas and I did a trip off of Canoe, up through the Joes, Tom Thompson, I can't remember, something, Burnt Island Lake, and then
Tom
back
Thompson,
down through the Joes.
Then across the Portage into Ink and McIntosh. And then did you go down through the Grassy Narrows into white trout, big trout? Yeah, most people don't do it in that direction. That's the clockwise direction. That's the heavy way. The portage from Tom Thompson to Ink is 2,800 something meters. And it's pretty up and down. So people do it the other way. They'll go in through the Joe Lakes and through Burnt Island, through the otter slides into big trout,
yeah,
and then to white trout, then through Grassy Bay into McIntosh, Tom Thompson, and then out. So when you do that crazy portage, your gear, your food bag, and everything is empty
by the time you get back to that. Yeah,
yeah, it makes
I know.
Sense.
I'm not all that bright sometimes when I'm planning trips.
Yeah, neither were we when we did it. We did it, our typical heavy food bag, and it was 35 degrees Celsius by 11 o'clock in the morning the day we did it.
That's usually when I regret buying waterproof boots, because they retain all the sweat that's running off my body and filling up my boot.
Yeah, that's true. I walked straight into Ink Lake with the water pump and the water bottles up twice and filled them up so we could have water on the trail.
Yeah, that would make sense. All right, cool. That's awesome about the twig stoves, or what do you, I think you call it something slightly different. I don't know why I call it a twig stove.
People can call it twig stove. We call it a stick stove.
Stick stove, that was it. Right. Small wood burning appliance, whatever.
That's right.
You have a cool thing that I've seen a bunch of people using. I haven't yet, but I'm interested in it. Talk to me about reflector ovens.
Reflector ovens. So we used one of the things with the stick stove is I got asked years ago, can I bake on? And I actually own an Outback oven, which is a 10-inch round pan. It's got a scorch plate underneath, 10-inch round pan with a lid, and it's got a big reflective shield that you put over top. And yes, you can cook on a stick stove with that. You really have to know, one, how to use an Outback oven, and you really have to watch how you're doing it with the stick stove. It's a bit of a process. But we like to bake. And we like to eat. So we decided in 2020, or actually late 2019, we're going to come up with a reflector oven. I haven't put the reflector oven together, but I do have one here. That's it. That's the whole thing. And again, it's like the stove. It folds flat. We just happen to take this, and it goes down in the back of the canoe pack. So it's in between your back and whatever's in the canoe pack, which is nice because then you don't care how you pack. You don't have to worry about, is this going to stick me in the kidneys or not? This protects it. But we designed this in such a way that we could take our large pan, it would fit in it from front to back, as well as we like pizza. So pizza in the bush, it's just basically naan bread, pizza sauce, whatever you want on top of it. And I used to do that in my Outback oven. So we know that's the exact size we need. And that's the pan size that we needed. So by doing the width we did, make it a little bit wider, we could put two naan breads side by side in. A couple things we did is we wanted, I keep looking at the oven to remind me, to be able to have the rack height changeable like you can at home. So if I'm just doing pizzas, I have the rack in the upper position. If I need to put a bigger pan because it's deeper, I'll put it in the lower position. That does work. It helps. So that's what we started to do. The reflector oven, it almost goes together exactly the same as our stove does. It's all slotted together. There's no hinges to break. It has a bit of a locking device in the back left, and the back panel locks it in place and everything goes together. And you build a fire about the width of your hand, about like that in front of your 6 inches or so in front, and away you go. So as I say in our biography, we tested this at Frontenac Provincial Park in June of 2020. I had just bought a canoe at that time. I was picking it up that weekend from the local retailer who's just around the corner. And I'll give a shout out to Zach at Frontenac Outfitters for that beautiful canoe line. And we decided we'll stay overnight. And we took the prototype with us for a reason. Because the campsites there have the provincial park fire range. And we wanted to make sure that it would fit in one of those. So if you ever wanted to go car camping, you could use it. And guess what? It does.
Good deal.
So if you build the fire in the round part of the ring and you put the reflector of it in the square part, it fits perfect.
That's awesome.
And that's why we did it.
So how exactly does a reflector oven work? What's the process?
So the reflector oven works. This is the front of the reflector oven. Your flame is out here. So your heat goes in, and then it goes around your, it's sort of like a convection oven. It goes around your food. It goes into the oven and around your food. So you build your fire about 6-8 inches out front. You do have to have an open flame fire. You do need a little bit of that flame heat, and it just goes in and around, and it works beautifully. You might have to turn it when you're cooking something, you know, halfway through. You might have to turn it 90 degrees or 180 degrees. You learn that as you use it, and it worked extremely well. On our test version of this, we actually have a barbecue thermometer, and we run the thing up to 450 degrees Fahrenheit quite easily.
Wowzers.
Cooking pizzas, because then it does a pizza in about 10 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really fast. And then to adjust the temperature, all you do is just move the thing back and forth a little bit. If it's too hot, you pull it back. If it's not hot enough, you build a bigger fire. You move it up.
So
you can cook anything you want in this thing.
For those that are listening as opposed to watching, what's the pack down size? What that looked like? 10 inches by 10 inches, something like that?
It's about 14 by 11.
Okay.
Inches.
And
roughly what it is.
What is one of those weigh?
About 3 pounds.
Okay.
And then it's made out of aluminum. We get it cut at the same place the guy that cuts our steels for our titanium. He also does our aluminum. He's in Grimsby, Ontario. And our stoves themselves are all laser cut, so there are, you know, no round, it's all round edges, no sharps, no burrs. And our aluminum for our reflector oven is all water. So again, no burrs, all round edges, nice and safe.
And you haven't melted.
Yeah, the guy does a really good job. We get our stuff, it's all nice and shiny.
You haven't melted the reflector ovens?
No, that you're not having as much dedicated heat. So to melt the aluminum stove, we built a heck of a good fire in there. You know, we have one of the stoves we bought, forget where we got it, nice little stove, went together well. We ran it for an hour, and we actually got the top third to glow red. We have a tendency to build quite a fire. And so now our goal is to see if we can get our stove to glow red. And I haven't got one to glow red yet. Between me and Helga, we burn our stoves the most. He builds big fires in his. Never got up to glow red.
Wow.
So, yep.
Well, it's a challenge then. Come on.
Anyone listening?
It has been a challenge.
And see if you can make it glow red.
Send us the pictures. We'll forward them on to Keith.
Yeah. I haven't got one yet.
We'll put our audience to work as the test subjects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the reflector oven now gives us the capability to expand our menu.
So is there a cookbook coming soon?
Okay. I was on a friend's YouTube broadcast in December for a bit. And then after I went off, the other guys went, "Oh, Keith, you're going to write a cookbook." Okay. We do have some stuff on our, we have a little bit of a YouTube channel that we have. Couple videos up on. It's always a cooking with Keith episode on it. So we've done the reflector oven and the cooking with Keith. So yeah, there might be a cookbook coming out we're going to possibly put up on our webpage.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely share all your social media stuff, your YouTube channel, all, your website, all that sort of jazz, in down in the description from our, for the podcast and for the video.
But as I said, with what they reflect oven, it gives you capability to expand your menu. The stick stove itself, yeah, we can, you know, we you can cook your everyday soups. We actually do one sauce on it that takes quite a while to do. Ingle cooks that one. As somebody's cooking that sauce, then the next person's on another stove cooking up the pasta. But the reflector oven, by expanding the menu, as I said, we do pizzas, which we did in the old setup. We also do cakes. It's a simple cake. It's a half a pack of blueberry muffin mix, two eggs, some water. You put that in a pan. We put four large dollops of strawberry jam in the cake in the corners. And we bake it in the reflector. You know, have a cup of coffee or a cup of hot chocolate and have that around the campfire in the evening. Pretty good. Breakfast in the morning. Cinnamon rolls, reflector oven. That's kind of nice on a cold morning. You have a nice fire. You can stay warm, you know, making yourself a hot breakfast. The last two summers, we did a more of a stationary trip. I mean, 2021 and then 2022, we did a trip into Naganoc with six of us. And that one there, we actually did a full roast beef dinner. So it's a 5-pound roast beef in the reflector oven. Mashed potatoes, quite easy. You only need to boil water for those. Peas and carrots, again, boiling water. Little trickier doing the gravy on a stick stove. You gotta, just so you can simmer it, let the stove die down a bit. But yeah, that, you know, full mashed potatoes, peas and carrots, gravy, and roast beef.
I can't even fathom.
My mouth is watering.
Cooking a 5-pound roast beef in the backcountry, man.
Yeah, this, I think this summer, the next one I'm going to cook is I'm going to do a roast chicken in for the trip.
Are you going to make a mini rotisserie in there and you can spin it, or are you just going to keep flipping it?
No, actually, I use Look Mylar oven bags, which are really, you know, there's a plastic bag, space science bag. I cook in those when I'm roasting. It keeps all the juices in, but you don't care if you let it go longer. You don't lose any of the juices. It stays extremely moist. Kind of handy in that you have all the juices for making your gravy and you don't have to flip it. You might have to turn it around once about halfway through.
Sounds so easy.
And man, I was surprised the first time I did the roast beef. It took 90 minutes for a full medium roast beef.
Sweet.
I thought I'd take a look at it. So when I did, I stuck the thermometer in it and went, uh-oh, guys, it's done. Dinner's early tonight.
Yep. I'm speechless. It would absolutely not occur to me to even conceive of doing something like that in the backcountry.
As I said earlier, we eat well.
You do.
Now, that being said, a 5-pound of beef is heavy in the food pack.
It is, but if you're cooking, like, it's the same deal. You one of the first things you said was, you know, cook steaks over the your campfire. We do the same thing. We take you know, we freeze whatever. It's at the top of the food barrel. That first night, we eat exceptionally well. And usually the next morning as well. Is, you know, you've got real bacon, not the super skinny stuff that sits on the shelf at the grocery store. For the first day, you know, I actually make a point of planning a less insane distance from our put in, simply because we're taking all the extra super yummy stuff for the fire, real potatoes, all that sort of jazz. And then, you know, it gets longer as we have less heavy food and kind of go like that.
Yeah. Just, you know, the second night you're having sausages that you took in frozen, by the second day they're thawed out.
Yep.
You're not having potatoes. You might have sidekicks to close.
Yep. Or, you know, or the instant mashed
potatoes.
Yep.
Or the instant mashed potatoes. Yeah. Those things are so light. You know, you don't even need to take the box, just write down the ingredients on the outside of the pouch with a Sharpie.
Yep. That's exactly
what I know. They take milk, but We'll take some powdered milk, put a couple tablespoons of that in it.
Yep. We're doing the same things.
Yeah.
Works
and we
as
do
well.
take the immersion, you know, we'd eat well.
All right. That's it for us for today. Thank you so much to our special guest, Keith Park from Kid Products, for walking us through twig stoves or stick stoves and reflector ovens. So helpful to learn all the information about
so
what to look for and
deliciousness.
Why they're so good. So many good things to put in them. We'll talk to you again soon. My name is Pamela.
I'm still Tim.
And we are still from supergoodcamping.com. Please do reach out to us. Our email address is hi@supergoodcamping.com. That's hi@supergoodcamping.com. And we are on all the social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And please do subscribe to us on YouTube. We'd love to see you there.